as Carol said, the book of Hebrews is one of those little mysteries in the Bible. For those of you who know a little something about the New Testament, you know there's four Gospels, and then there's some other books in the Bible, right? Some other books in the New Testament, and those are called epistles, which is to say they're letters. They're letters that are written to the early churches, and a lot of those letters were written by the Apostle Paul, right? This is familiar maybe to some of you that as they were collecting the Bible, different communities that had received letters from Paul said, oh, he wrote us a really good one. You guys should include that in the Bible, right? They had like, use this. Oh, he wrote us a great one. Here, send that one in and have it be in the Bible. But then there were some other letters. And one of them is this Hebrews. And even before the Bible was compiled, people were arguing about who wrote it. I find that interesting, that they included a letter that they had no idea who wrote the letter. In the King James Bible, they just resolved the question by just, and remember, King James, many, many, many years after the original compilation of the Bible, King James said, oh, we're going to just call it the letter of Paul to the Hebrews. But that was an editorial gloss. There is no evidence that this was written by Paul. It's written in a style that's completely different than the letters that Paul wrote. It's not attributed to Paul. But it was this letter that was written to a group of people who were struggling. And it was held dear by the early Christian community because it seemed so wise. The book is written, the whole letter is written to address heartbreak. The book is written to a group of people who are suffering and who are deeply disappointed that Jesus has kind of let them suffer. There was this feeling in the early Christian community that among the other things that Jesus was going to do is that he would come back and become the King of Israel. That he would take the seat of King David and sort of bring Israel back to the sort of place of political independence and really the sort of moral standing that it had during the sort of heyday, really 1,000 years earlier at that time. And they're deeply disappointed that that hadn't happened, that there wasn't this sort of political salvation. There wasn't and in fact, their lives had gotten significantly worse. They were now being persecuted as sort of people who were following this small sect and, sort of deviants from the social norm, from the religious norm. And what was the point of all of this if life was only going to get worse? And this letter is written by way of encouragement and instruction to that community about what to do, not just as an individual, but as a community, when your heart is broken, when things haven't worked out the way you were hoping or planning or expecting them to. There's a lot of discussion about how to understand Jesus and what, the messianic role of Jesus. But then as the letter starts to wrap up, as we find in this is chapter 13 by the time we're tuning in here, when the letter starts to wrap up, there's this, okay, so what piece of the letter. Okay, so what? What should we do? What should we do now here among each other? And it's the instructions begin, let mutual love continue. Okay, people, life is hard. Things didn't turn out the way you were hoping them to. What are you going to do about a broken heart? Keep loving and keep receiving love. Keep the love going. Don't let the difficulty and the sadness of this time, the author says, don't let that shut your heart down. Let mutual love continue. Keep the love flowing. How? Well, that's where the author gets highly, highly specific. And it's interesting to me that this is the list of instructions that that author or that committee or whoever it is who put Hebrews together, this is what they came up with. I sometimes wonder if you just looked at this list, like without this heading, right? If we just saw a list that said, show hospitality to strangers, remember prisoners, honor marriage, don't obsess about money, could we say, okay, what do these things have in common with each other? If you did all of these things, what would the result be? But this is the detail, the instruction about how to keep love flowing in times that are heartbreaking. What do you think of the list? Is there any one of these that catches your attention and really makes sense and you're saying, yeah, that's it? Does the list seem sort of random to you? Does the list seem irrelevant to you? Show hospitality, remember prisoners, victims of torture, honor marriage, don't obsess about money, keep in mind the people whose faith you admire and try to emulate them, and praise God. Yeah, so Dennis is noting that all of these things are sort of a push away from a focus on your own predicament or suffering and a push to be other-centered. Yeah, I think the number two in particular always strikes me on that one, right? However much you're suffering, remember prisoners, remember people who are victims of torture, and not just think, oh gosh, they have it worse than I do. But have a sense of co-suffering. Have a sense of being sort of connected to other people in suffering. I think of this because I visited, actually it's my husband's cousin visited yesterday, who's had a neurological incident, I guess we would say. And he's recovering. And his experience with this neurological condition that he has was of profound connection to everybody else who has had something like that. And not just that eerie thing that happens where you're sick, where, you know, like you discover that you have arthritis and then every single person you meet is going to tell you how bad their arthritis is. You know, that not just that kind of, you know, you think you have it bad, I have it worse kind of thing. But really a sense of deep connection with people who have been struggling in a way that you weren't and now you are. So that's maybe a piece of what that piece around prisoners or victims of torture comes in. Anything else? What do you think? Do any of these strike you? That Lou so beautifully put. May I just repeat what you said? Lou said, the world is just, there's so much humanity, so many people all over the world, and that when you show hospitality to a stranger, it makes the world a smaller place. That you find a way of making a connection between the sort of overwhelming a number of others out there in the world, and make a way in which that stranger connects you. And the world doesn't seem so strange, right? You seem the connection powerful. That's one of the ways in which you keep the love flowing, is not just to love the person nearest you. That's in there too, right? Honor marriage. Honor other people's marriages. But also to connect with people who are completely strangers to you. Okay, well, let's take a few more minutes to talk about this at the tables. The question that I would invite you to consider is which one of these makes sense or doesn't make sense to you. Might want to continue that reflecting with each other. But let me also ask, if you were to add one more to the list, you know, from coming, this is their experience. This was their insight. But if you had the same instruction, if you were the committee writing the, the addendum to the book of Hebrews, what would you add about how to keep love flowing when your heart is breaking? What would you add? Let's take a few minutes to talk about that, and then we'll actually come back, and I'd love to hear what our second edition would say. I'd love to hear the, if anybody had any additions to the list. Okay, so here's one addition from this table. Alan says, listen to the voices that you hear. Carol says an addition would be, listen to the voice inside. Alan says, listen to the voices you hear. Listen to the voice inside. You cannot afford the luxury of a negative thought. Difference between hearing and listening. Take the cotton out of your ears. All right. Yeah. Make friends with those of different backgrounds and experiences. Seek humor. Yeah, wait. How did that not make it into the original? Because that's so essential. Yeah. So I'm going to add to the list, make the phone call. How many of us have, no, I'm serious about that. If we're going to get really, really specific about let mutual love continue, and Dan always works on this one, go to the funeral. Always go. Always go. Oh, it's awkward. I haven't talked to them for like 2 years, and I didn't call when I heard that his mother was sick. Doesn't matter. Go, right? Go to the funeral. Make the phone call. Team up with someone to serve others. Yeah, Teresa says, nurture God's love within and start there so that you have that sense of tapping in to something that you can, that can flow out of you. Yeah, Marge says, love someone else. Share some love. Love on somebody. Care for them, right? And that sometimes prompts you to connect then to the love of God for yourself. Yeah, funny how these things work, right? There's some kind of flow, some sort of circuit. Yeah, and be a part of a loving community. Be a part. Show up, right? Show up. Sit at the table and take the risk to say what you think and hear what somebody else has to say. What a gift that we got to do that today. Thank you all for your... for sharing.